I enjoy it. When young ladies like those sing, they sang a while ago. All three of them grew up in our church. All three of them were juniors at one time, I guess, under my ministry, and maybe younger than that. One of them joined the church the first Sunday I was pastor here, just a little girl, I guess primary girl. She's now a mother. Another one has been here since she was a little child, and she's now the wife of one of the finest evangelists in America. And another one of the young ladies sang a while ago is a teacher at Hiles Anderson, at Hammond Baptist High School, and this year, and a wonderful, dedicated, sweet Christian. And I was thinking as they were singing, I wonder how many sermons like I'm going to preach tonight it took to make those young ladies what they are. I wondered how many times I had to scream and holler and beller and beg, and you parents had to join with me so these three young ladies could become what they are tonight. One of the things that we've said through these years, stay in the right crowd. Stay in the right crowd. Stay in the right crowd. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the river of waters that bringeth forth his fruit in the season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Notice two of those five conditions for prosperity and success have to do with the right crowd. Blessed is man that what? Walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. There's the wrong crowd. Nor standeth in the way of the sinners. Way of sinners. There it is again. Wrong crowd. Two of the five deal with running with the wrong crowd, or with the right crowd, or not one running with the wrong crowd. I don't care who you are. I don't care who you are. Wrong crowd will ruin you. Wrong crowd ruined the best Christian in the New Testament. Far as I know, the best Christian in the New Testament was the Apostle Peter. He was the first listed. Every time they listed the apostles, it was always Peter, Andrew, James, and John. Peter, Andrew, James, and John. Peter was the first one of the inner circle. And when they were mentioned, it was Peter, James, and John. Always was. Far as I know, Peter was the greatest Christian of his day and the best preacher in the world of his day. But Peter cursed and swore and denied the Lord. Why? Denied the faith. Why? I don't know why. Because he warmed with the devil's fire. He was in the wrong crowd. When Peter got in the wrong crowd, he cursed. Now listen, if Peter cursed when he got in the wrong crowd, you can curse and you get in the wrong crowd too. Peter denied the Lord in the wrong crowd, you can deny the Lord in the wrong crowd. If Peter denied his faith in the wrong crowd, you can deny your faith in the wrong crowd. Now, you listen to me. There are people in this church right now who have drifted away from God, and you're backslidden, and you're away from God, and I'll bind you somewhere along the trail. You got in with somebody who wasn't good for you in the wrong crowd. I was talking to a mother the other day, and she said, Pastor, my daughter's gone astray. I said, what happened? She got in the wrong crowd. I was talking to a father about a son in Hammond Baptist High School that had gone astray, and he said he got the wrong crowd at Hammond Baptist High School. And let me make it clear and plain. There is a wrong crowd at Hammond Baptist High School. I say there is a crowd that you should shun at Hammond Baptist High School. Now, if you're in that crowd, you ought to have enough decency to get right or get out, one or the other. But the honest truth is, there is a wrong crowd, and if you get in the wrong crowd, you're in for trouble. Practically all the trouble we face as God's people has somewhere in its foundation getting in the wrong crowd. Look at Eve in the Garden of Eden. Eve, she got with the devil, and the devil led her astray. She was in the wrong crowd, and a whole race fell because she got in the wrong crowd. Look at Abraham. Abraham went down into Egypt, and that never should have gone into Egypt. And down in Egypt, he got Egypt in his blood. Later, he took himself Hagar, because Sarah was childish, and her womb was barren. And Hagar came, and Ishmael was born. And the trouble that is happening right now, taking place in the Middle East tonight, between the Arabs and the Jews, is the fact that Abraham had two boys. He had one by Sarah, who was his child of promise. He had one by Hagar, who was the oldest child. And because Isaac was a child of promise, Isaac had a right to the land. And because Ishmael was the oldest child, he said he had a right to the land. And till this day, the sons of Ishmael, that's the Arabs, and the sons of Isaac, that's the Jews, are fighting in Palestine, and this whole world is rocking and reeling in uncertainty tonight. Why? Because Abraham got in the wrong crowd. That's why. Now, you're not a better Christian than Abraham, and you're not a better Christian than Peter, and you're no stronger than Eve. Eve, who lived in the Garden of Eden. Eve, who had never sinned. Eve, who fellowshiped with God every day, got in the wrong crowd, and her life and yours and mine was affected. Lot got in the wrong crowd. Lot was a Christian. Lot was a just, had a righteous heart. And he was a just man. He was just before God and had God's imputed righteousness covering his sin. What happened to Lot? Lot got in the wrong crowd. Why? Abraham took him down into Egypt. And there in Egypt, he came out of Egypt, but Egypt never came out of him. And Sodom was a lot like Egypt. So when Lot and Abraham parted company, Abraham said, "You take what you think you ought to have." And Lot chose the well-watered plains toward Sodom, went down to Sodom. He was saved, got in the wrong crowd, ruined his life, ruined his family's life. His wife turned a pillar of salt. He fled the city as the city was being destroyed, went out to a little town called Zoar. And there he had incest with one daughter, and she brought forth a son born by her own father, whose name was Moab. And his other daughter, she had committed incest with his other daughter, and she brought forth a son born of her own father, whose name was Ammon. And the Moabites and the Ammonites are causing trouble till this day, and the nations of this world are being pestered and haunted tonight. Why? Because Lot got in the wrong crowd. I mean, if Abraham got in the wrong crowd, it affected us thousands of years later, and if Lot got in the wrong crowd, it still affects this whole world and will unto the end time, if that be the case, then you getting in the wrong crowd is going to affect your kids too, and your grandkids, and their kids, and theirs, and theirs, and theirs, and theirs. I'm saying if there is one thing in this world you ought to underline in your Christian life, that is, don't run in the wrong crowd. Look at Balaam. Balaam, that wonderful preacher. Don't you sell Balaam short. He was the Billy Graham of his day. I mean, at one time, Balaam was the famous preacher. And he was the fellow who was known all over Israel as the most famous of all. And he stood, and yet he, like many others, decided he had run the wrong crowd. "Oh," said Balaam, "I can go down to Moab, and I can be as good a preacher down there." No, nobody can be as good a Christian in the wrong crowd as he can in the right crowd. "Oh, but you say, I trust my daughter." God, you couldn't trust Peter, and you couldn't trust Abraham, and you couldn't trust Balaam. And you better not trust your daughter. "Oh," you say, "my son, he can go to the University of Indiana. He can take it okay." And you got a hole in your head. He can't take it okay. There's no way in this world that you can get in the wrong crowd to still turn out right. The wrong crowd ruined Lot. The wrong crowd ruined Abraham. The wrong crowd ruined Eve. The wrong crowd caused the race to fall. The wrong crowd caused the Middle Eastern trouble. And the wrong crowd will ruin you. I don't care who you are. Wrong crowd will ruin you. "Oh," you say, "I'll go to a liberal church. Grandma went there, and Grandpa went there, and Uncle George went there, and Aunt Sue went there. And what are all these liberal churches going to do if all the good folks get out? They're going to go to hell like they're going to go if all the good folks stay in. The liberal churches have already gone to the devil. You stay in them, and you're going to end up bad. Now get out! Get out!" "Oh, but you say, Brother Hound, it won't hurt me. My Bible says, touch not the unclean thing. Come ye out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord." Wrong crowd will ruin you. Wrong crowd will ruin your kid. Wrong crowd will ruin your family. Wrong crowd. Some of you folks here in this area, you come out every once in a while to slum it to hear Hiles. I mean, of course, you go to the first liberal church in Podunk, Chicago. Now, you got some cold, dead liberal church you go to. Every once in a while, you come out to slum it a little bit and hear old Hiles holler and scream and beller and snort and hit the pulpit and make a lot of noise. But you go back to your old, dead, cold church. That's where your money goes, you hypocrite. That's where your influence is, you backslider. And you're in the wrong crowd. And don't be surprised when your children grow up and go to the devil and break your heart. Why? Because you reared your family in the wrong crowd, that's why. You better get you some red-hot, fundamental, Bible-preaching, hell-fire and brimstone, soul-winning, Christ-honoring, Bible-preaching, fundamentalist church, and get your family there. Oh, you say, "Well, a little uncouth, but come on, you'll feel welcome then. You'll feel at home. Just come on in." But you say, "I don't like all the noise." No, it's not the noise you don't like. It's what we holler you don't like. You don't mind that Jerry Rubin's hollering and Stokely Carmichael's hollering, and the communist hollering, you don't mind that. Now, the trouble is, you've got a black heart, and you're not right with God, and you're trying to play both sides of the fence. You got one foot on one side and one on the other. You're half in and half out and half on and half off, half hot and half cold, sort of a milk and cider kind of a halfway Christian. What you ought to do is realize the wrong crowd will ruin you. Wrong crowd will ruin your family. Wrong crowd will ruin your children. Get out of it and touch not the unclean thing and come out from among them, saith the Lord. That's what ruined Balaam. That's what ruined Naomi. Naomi and her husband, Elimelech, had two children, Mahlon and Chilion. They were in Bethlehem of Judah. A famine came, and they wanted to feed their family. They left the will of God in Bethlehem, went down to Moab, and there in the outside the will of God, they went to sojourn. They stayed for 10 long, wretched years. Her husband, Elimelech, died. Her son, Mahlon, died after he had married a heathen. Their son, Chilion, died after he had married a heathen. And because of being in the wrong crowd, they were wrecked. And Naomi came back, and her face was scarred by sin, and her life was wrecked by sin. She left three graves back there. She left the grave of her dear husband, Elimelech. She left the grave of her oldest son and her youngest son, Mahlon and Chilion. There she left those three graves. She went down with four. She comes back by herself. When she got back, they said, "Is this Naomi?" She said, "Don't call me Naomi anymore." She said, "Naomi means pleasant. Call me Mara." That means bitter. She said, "I went out full, but it came back empty." And she comes back with her face marked by sin and bitterness in her life, and her boys in the grave, and her husband in the grave. Why? Because she got in the wrong crowd, that's why. Look at Ahab. Ahab married the daughter of the king of Sidon. Ahab, who wasn't really a bad man, just sort of a henpecked kind of a fella, who let his wicked wife run him. Ahab could have been a good king, but he wasn't. Why? He got in the wrong crowd, that's why. Look at Solomon. Solomon was a good man. Solomon had all kinds of potential. Solomon's father was David. Solomon was the wisest man in the entire world. Except one thing. What happened? He ran with the wrong women. He dated the wrong girls. Young people, you listen to me. You young men, listen to me. Don't you dare date wicked women. And don't you young ladies date bad boys. If you can't find a Christian husband, be just an unclaimed blessing the rest of your life, and don't ever get married. If you can't find a godly wife, then don't you get married. Don't you sell yourself short. It'll wreck you and ruin you, as it did Ahab for life, if you marry the wrong person or get in the wrong crowd, or as it did Solomon, who married heathen wives, and they turned his heart from God and wrecked his life, and the kingdom was divided. Look at Jehoshaphat, a good man. A born-again man. I think one of the finest kings, potentially. But he made an alliance with Ahab and went to get Ramoth and Gilead with Ahab. Then he went in business with another heathen king. And finally his son married Athaliah, the wicked daughter of Ahab. And Jehoshaphat's life was ruined. And his son Jehoram's life was ruined. And the whole kingdom was ruined. Why? Because Jehoshaphat got in the wrong crowd. Over here in Chicago, there's a place called Moody Bible Institute. Moody Bible and Moody Church, founded by that great, wonderful Dwight L. Moody, that great evangelist. Dwight L. Moody had two headquarters. One was in Northfield, Massachusetts, and one was in Chicago. He had a school, schools in Northfield. He had schools in Chicago. But Dwight L. Moody figured he had to center his attention on one. He had a son. His son was a gifted young man. And Dwight L. Moody came to make his headquarters in Chicago and left his son to operate the schools in Northfield, Massachusetts. But his son wanted to run with the wrong crowd. His son had the famous Henry Drummond to speak up in Northfield, Massachusetts. Henry Drummond was, I don't know if you'd call him a liberal. He did believe in evolution, and I think perhaps he had liberal tendencies, though his name was not linked with liberalism in his day. But Dwight Moody's son had Henry Drummond up there. And then later on, he had William Rainey Harper, who was the president of the University of Chicago, and the fellow that took that fundamental blood-bought school over here, built on the sacrificial dollars of God's blood-washed people, University of Chicago, which is now is a center of paganism and atheism and communism. And the man that changed it was named William Rainey. And William Rainey was invited by Moody's son to go to Northfield, Massachusetts. Why? Well, Moody's son, he wanted to have the acceptance of the scholarly world. He didn't want to be considered a nut and a nitwit. Brother, you better just be thankful you run the nuts and the nitwits and the screwballs. Anytime this old pagan world that nailed Christ the cross loves you, there's something wrong with you. You don't need the applause of Harvard. I don't want Yale, somebody said. said, Purdue Extension won't accept our credits. Well, bless God, we won't accept theirs either. Why, I don't want a heathen, pagan bunch of God-rejecting, Bible-hating, Antichrist crowd. I want that crowd to accept us as being scholarly. We've got more scholarship than our big toe at Hiles Anderson. These heathen schools with these long-haired, blue-jean-wearing, hip-hugging co-educational dormitory school have in their whole campus. I want you to know, brother, we need some old-fashioned scholarship and decency and integrity and propriety. We need to teach our kids in our colleges how to dress and how to wear their hair and how to say yes, sir, and no, sir, and yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am, and how to eat with manners at the table and how to respect authority and how to respect their moms and their dads and their teachers and their pastors and how to be good, obedient, law-abiding members of society once again. And I'm simply saying, if Dwight Moody's son wanted to be accepted by the University of Chicago crowd and the Henry Drummond crowd and the Evolution crowd, now, whoever hears of Northfield, Massachusetts, whoever hears those Northfield schools, Moody Bible Institute still tonight believes the Bible is the Word of God. And yet up yonder where they tried to kowtow, and Moody's son got in the wrong crowd, and the wrong crowd ruined him, and the wrong crowd ruined Peter, and the wrong crowd ruined Balaam, and the wrong crowd ruined Abraham, and the wrong crowd ruined Lot, and the wrong crowd ruined Naomi, and the wrong crowd will ruin you. Come ye out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Up in Canada, there was a young preacher, all kinds of potential. Pastored a great soul-winning church in Canada. He was one of the great, great evangelists in Canada. His name was Chuck Templeton. Chuck Templeton decided that he was going to get the endorsement of the National Council of the Churches. Brother, I'd just as soon have the endorsement of the Communist Party and the National Council of the Churches. But, he said, I'll preach the gospel within the National Council. I'll become the evangelist representing the National Council. Look out, Chuck! Look out, Chuck! You're headed down. You're in the wrong crowd. You're not going to be better than Peter was. You're not going to be better than Abraham was. You won't succeed where Lot failed. You won't succeed where Naomi failed. I was in Canada recently watching a television news. They came a talk show on after the news, and they said, we have as our guest Chuck Templeton. And there was that man who's now middle-aged. Was a young evangelist, used to be on fire for God, built a great church up in Canada, and they interviewed him, and they said, what are you doing now? Well, he said, I'm writing script for Hollywood. They said, well, didn't you used to be an evangelist? He said, yes. They said, do you still believe that? No, he said, I don't believe the Bible anymore. He used to preach revivals. He used to preach the new birth. What happened to him? Wrong crowd. That's what happened to him. Got in the wrong crowd. Wrecked his testimony. Wrecked his ministry. Now he's out in the world. Doesn't even believe the Bible of the plan of salvation he used to preach. I saw one girl in Hammond Baptist High School ruin a dozen girls because they ran with her when they shouldn't have run with her. I have seen perfectly loyal, hardworking church members spend some time with critical people. And I have seen them resign their classes, resign deacon boards, lay out of church on Wednesday night, and quit the jobs they're doing for God. Why? Because some critical people got their hands on. Listen to me. A person that spreads anything to you about somebody else is not your friend. He's not your friend. He's the wrong crowd, or she's the wrong crowd. And I've seen it happen again and again and again and again and again. Good people get affected by the wrong crowd. Choir members, you sing mighty well, and I love you, and I love to cut up with you, and I'm glad you're my choir. But not a one of you can run the wrong crowd and stay right. Deacons, 107 of the finest men. I love them. They're my buddies, and I love them. And they're great guys, and they work with me and help me carry my load and put up with my temperamental fits and so forth. 107, the finest men in the world. But deacons, I don't care how long you've been a deacon. I don't care who you are. You get in the wrong crowd, and you're in for trouble. Sunday school teachers, you get in the wrong crowd, you're in for trouble. You professors at Hiles Anderson College, you decide you want to study under the Karl Barth type or the Emo Brunner or Reinhold Niebuhr for a while so you can get some scholarship so we'll be recognized by that kind of institution. You're headed for the wrong crowd. You're in the wrong crowd. You can't stand it. You can't take it. You better run with God's blood-bought fundamental, born-again, lame brain, screwball, narrow-minded, bigoted, hated, persecuted, lied about, fundamental people. That's the crowd that you ought to run with, and that's the crowd that'll keep you right, and the wrong crowd will take you into sin and wreck your life and ruin you as sure as I'm standing behind this pulpit. Well, now a few observations. One, don't run with the wrong crowd, even to help them out. Oh, you say, there's a certain fella or a certain young lady, and I'm going to get with her. She's not a good Christian. She's not what she ought to be, but I'm going to help her out. No, she's going to ruin you. He's going to ruin you. Did you know that right and wrong put together to the equal amount always comes out wrong? Did you ever have a dog, a little house dog, maybe a poodle that's real neat and clean? Or maybe some kind of real nice dog. You bathe the dog every day and put Chanel number 5. Look, spray some of that on yourself while you're at it, would you please? But Chanel number 5, and the dog is spoiled, rotten. And the kids eat hamburger, but the dog eats good, specially prepared diet. And so forth. And the kids eat pizza, but you wouldn't give the dog into that. It's not good for the dog. That kind of dog. But one day the dog's outside to take care of some business. And... So now there you go. You're judging me again. Anyway, dog's outside. Now he's fertilizing the neighbor's yard. And here comes an old stray hound dog. He's an alley dog. He's as dirty as all get out. What happens? Your cute little perfume-scented poodle runs off with that alley dog. And so they're gone 3 or 4 hours. They come back in. And your little poodle has got that alley dog all bathed, doesn't he? Huh? Huh? And the poodle, the dog comes back in, that old alley dog, he is all clean and in good shape, and his fur is all combed, because, boy, that poodle sure did a lot of good for that alley dog. You know that's not the truth. There never has been a clean dog and a dirty dog run off together. What clean dog didn't come back dirty? Why? Because bad conquers good when it's equal. Dirt, and cleanliness, when they meet, come out dirty. Clouds and sunshine, when they mingle, come out cloudy. Sin and righteousness, mingled on equal amount, always comes out bad. That means that you should never be one-on-one with a sinner. Never be one-on-one with a sinner. You go with the wrong guy, and you'll be the wrong girl before long. You go with the wrong girl, you'll be a bad guy before long. You go with make your best friend, so that's not what she ought to be, what he ought to be, and you won't be what you ought to be very long. Why? Because they'll influence you. And that leads me to say this, repeat this, don't be one-on-one with anybody. Now somebody says, Brother Hiles, I have a son. My son got in trouble, Hammond Baptist High School. And my son... He smoked. He took a drink. He's been cursing some. He was expelled from school last year. Now he's going to go back to school this year. How do you expect my boy to make it? Nobody will be a friend to him. May I say this? No one single person ought to be a friend to him. And if you had a child that was living right, you would not want your child to take a friendship one-on-one with a child who's been that deep in sin. That's a problem. Okay, now what's the answer for it? Here's the answer. A crowd of good kids may accept that one in your crowd, but don't you accept him personally as one of your good friends. Did you hear me? I said, a crowd of good kids can take that fella, that young person, and give that young person another chance. But one-on-one, you're going to lose 9 times out of 10. When I came up north, I had a 10-gallon hat. I expect it may have been 12, 14 gallons. I never did fill it up to see how much it'd hold, but it was a big thing. Any of you folks remember that hat I used to wear? When I first got here, great big 10-gallon hat, and the North wasn't going to change me. I'll bind you one thing. After the time I've been here 6 months, everybody up here in this area is going to wear 10-gallon Texas hats, I'll guarantee you. Why? That's what I wore in Texas, these little miniature things you wear up here. It's a disgrace and a shame When I go back to Texas, I blush and say Hail Mary full of grace 7 times. When I go back, ashamed of wearing those little old tams that you wear up here and call them hats. And I wore it. And I said, I'll keep on wearing it. Nobody's going to stop me wearing my Texas hat. Oh, but after about a month, I'd go out to O'Hara Field and everybody go. I'd walk down the street and everybody go. I go to St. Margaret's Hospital. You know who that is? Who's that? That's Reverend Hiles. He's cowboy pastor down at First Baptist Church. You know what that hat is? I gave it to take the offering one time, not an old-fashioned day, and I haven't worn it since. Why? I got in the wrong crowd. Perfectly good, honest, law-abiding rebel. Started running with Yankees. Got in the wrong crowd. Johnny Murphy's dad over here is a preacher. I preached for him when Johnny was how old? A year old, John? 20 years ago, I guess. I preached for him down in a little town called Freer, Texas. It's a place that God hadn't even discovered yet. And down in Freer, Texas, they taped that sermon. I played a part of that tape the other day. They gave me a copy. I played a part of that tape. You would not believe my accent. You wouldn't believe it. Why did you folks call me? You never heard a more ignorant fella in your life. Now, no bad accent. What's happened to me? I got in the wrong crowd. Wrong crowd. You heard me tell about that time when I was going with a girl years ago when I was in high school. I went to W.H. Adamson High School. And the girl went to Woodrow Wilson High School. And we went to a football game. W.H. Adamson High School played Woodrow Wilson High School. At a neutral site, the P.C. Cobb Memorial Stadium. And I took that girl. We agreed to sit on the Adamson side. In those days, all one team's fans sat on one side, all the other team's fans on the other side. So she went with me, and we sat on the Adamson side the first half. The last half of the game, we went over and sat on the Woodrow Wilson side. Well, boy, in the first half, I was yelling up storm. Hey, woo, hey, on Oak Cliff High, on Oak Cliff High. We called ourselves Oak Cliff High and Adamson High. Say, fight on for your fame. Throw the ball around the end. A touchdown sure this time. Rah, rah, rah. On Oak Cliff High. On Oak Cliff High. Da, 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 da. Okay. And so isn't that something? But anyway, try to control yourself. Try to control yourselves. We ought to give the invitation now. No doubt about it. We'll never rise this height again in this service. So, halftime. We went over on her side. I was the only Adamson fan on the other side. We had a ball carrier named Nick Lanza. Boy, he was a big fullback, a bruising fullback. Nick Lanza broke through the line for 10 yards, and I forgot what side I was on. I went, ah! So, next time Nick Lanza went through the line, I said, yay! And the next time I said, whoopee. And the next time I felt it on the inside. What's wrong? Wrong crowd. Wrong crowd. Wrong crowd changed my... And that's why you don't say prayer in the restaurant when you're in the wrong crowd. That's why you don't take your Bible to work. That's why you won't say grace at work. That's why you won't witness at work. Why? You're hobnobbing with the devil's crowd too much. Get off the Woodrow Wilson side and get on the W.H. Adamson side. Where you can cheer for the Lord Jesus Christ and take a stand for Him. Now I'm saying, wrong crowd. Wrong crowd. Something else. Satan deceives you while you're in the wrong crowd to make you think you're all right. You know why? When you're in the wrong crowd, you look pretty good in comparison. And so you take pride in it. Young man goes to a worldly university. His mother says, my boy will make it. My boy will make it. Yes, he will. I trust my boy. He goes down there. So she comes back to me and she says, my boy's doing a good job. I got a letter from the dean of men down there that said he's the finest boy in the dorm. I hate to say this, but that ain't much compliment. I mean, Al Capone could be the finest boy in some of these dorms around here. But they don't have any decent kids much down there. Here's a kid that's half what he ought to be. Compromise. He can just drink beer instead of whiskey and smoke cigarettes instead of marijuana. He's a pretty good kid. And so because he looks pretty good in comparison, he's tranquilized to think he's all right. But he's on his way down. And after a while, he'll trade that cigarette for marijuana and that beer for a bottle of whiskey. Before you know it, the wrong crowd will ruin him. Another observation. It is the crowd that influences. The crowd. You can bring someone who's weak in the faith into the right crowd. That's why it says in Romans 14:1, him that is weak in the faith receive you. See, talking about the congregation. Didn't say make your best friend with him, but receive him in the congregation. He's weak in the faith. And that's the reason for Christian education. That's why we have Hammond Baptist Grade School. There may be somebody in Hammond Baptist Grade School, several somebodies, that not what they ought to be, but the rules are righteous rules. And the crowd is for righteousness. And the teachers are for righteousness. There may be some kids, and there are some kids, shouldn't be in Hammond Baptist High School. But the teachers are for righteousness. And they're for what we preach, and most of the kids are. And that's why we have Hiles Anderson College for the same reason. Listen, folks. One reason you shouldn't run with the wrong crowd. We can't compete with the wrong crowd. Did you know a liberal preacher will come near winning you, making you like him, than a fundamentalist preacher? You know why? Because he's not against anything except the fundamentalists. He's not against anything. Here's a fellow stands up and says on Sunday morning, it doesn't matter. This Bible is a good book, but we believe in having love in our hearts toward all men. And if you believe or don't believe the Bible, well, we'll receive you in love. Charity towards all. Well, sure, everybody's going to like him. The guy gets up and says, if you don't believe this book, you're lost. If you haven't been born again, you're going to hell. You've got to come to Christ. There's no other way. I can't compare with him. You go to a liberal preacher on Sunday morning, come to hear me on Sunday night, in 6 months, you like him better than me. Probably in 6 minutes. By the way, don't come hear me on Sunday morning and him on Sunday night. He's watching TV. God's not against anything. We can't compete with the liberals. No way in the world we can. We can't act this way. Why? We hate some things. That's why. We hate sin. We hate the devil. We hate hell. We hate the liquor traffic. We hate the marijuana traffic. We hate the communism. We hate the filth that's ruining America. And there's no way in the world that you can run with the wrong crowd without thinking they're nicer than we. People oftentimes say, you know, I've only been asked if somebody in Hammond could have the conviction of Brother Hyle and the love of that pastor down the street. All the way. You can't have love without having conviction. You can't love God unless you hate sin. You can't love heaven unless you hate hell. This Sunday used to say you can't love flowers unless you hate weeds. You don't love your kid unless you're chasing him. You don't love your church unless you're chasing him. What I'm trying to say is simply this. If we run with that crowd, we'll learn to like that crowd. I was at a certain barbershop here in town not long ago. Well, a couple of years ago, I guess. Getting a haircut. Some of you folks need to know the definition of that term, haircut. If you see me after the service, I'll show you in the dictionary a term you've never heard before. Better still, I got some scissors in my office. I can demonstrate for you. But I can put it out. Either way, it'll be fine. But I was in a certain barbershop. There's a fellow sitting up there getting a haircut, and there's another fellow sitting beside me, and we got to talking. One of the nicest fellows you ever saw in your life. I noticed the barber was nervous. He kept almost cutting the ear off of the guy his hair is cutting. And we started talking about the Cubs. I said, you reckon the Cubs will ever win? And this fellow said, I don't know, but I'm not going to give up. And I said, me either. We sat there for 15, 20 minutes, and we had the nicest conversation. He's one of the friendliest guys I ever met. My, what a nice guy. He didn't know who I was, and I didn't know who he was. And so, He talked and talked and had a nice conversation. Poor old barber was about to have a seizure. The poor fellow getting his hair cut ought to have had insurance. And so, came time to leave. And the barber said, I'd like you fellows to meet each other. He said to me, he said, this is the fellow who runs a tavern over here on the corner of State and Soul. That big one. And he said to the tavern owner, this is Jack Hiles, pastor of First Baptist Church. I don't know whether it was the fainting that caused us to fall on the ground or the butting heads as we fell toward each other. I'm not sure what it was. That's one of the nicest guys I ever met in my life. If you really want to meet a nice guy, go over there. Nice guy. Now, the honest truth is, sin has an allurement that we can't with which we can't compete. Can't compete with it. You know why? Because our joy comes as a result. Our joy is in the end. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. But the best day you will ever spend in the world is the first day. Worse and worse, worse. You get to the bottom. With Jesus, it gets better and better and better. You get to the top. That means the entrance, our entrance cannot compare with theirs. Our introduction cannot compare with theirs. Our vestibule cannot compare with theirs. Our hors d'oeuvres cannot compare with theirs. No way in the world. And that's why I say don't run with the devil's crowd. You know, you can oftentimes tell who I've been with when I've been out preaching, can't you? I come in here on a Wednesday night after being gone, and I say we're glad to have our visitors. Or I sing, the windows of heaven are open. Open, the blessings are falling. Tonight, there's joy, joy, joy in my heart since Jesus made everything. That's really mimicking. I shouldn't do that because that would not do justice to anybody. But I look like this. You know how I've been with. Or I come back and I say, neighbor, neighbor, by the way, neighbor. And you know who I've been with. Our crowd affects us. It affects us. And your crowd affects you. And that's why, young people, you ought not to run with the wrong crowd. And that's why adults, when somebody comes to you and starts to run down something and says, well, it's just here at First Baptist, not like it used to be, say, get out! They're your enemies, not your friends. You say, well, are you talking about me? I probably am, if it applies. I'm trying to help you. I'm not mad at you. I'm trying to help you. I don't want you to backslide. I don't want you to quit serving God. I don't want you to be influenced by the wrong crowd. I want you to stay busy for God, stay active for God, and stay out of the wrong crowd. And I'm going to tell you in a few minutes what the wrong crowd really is. See, I see it so often. I see it. I see a young lady, one of our fine young ladies. I see her come in the balcony up here, or come over here, or come back in the back, and I see her walk in. And some guy with a leather jacket on, he hadn't got a tie on, and he's got long, shaggy hair, and you can tell he's not the right kind of person. And I watch her. And that young lady soon, I begin to worry about her, and soon she drifts back toward the back of the building. And after a while, she doesn't come to teenage soul winning. And after a while, she drops out of the youth activity. And after a while, she goes to another church on Sunday night. And before you know it, she's lost to the cause of Christ. Why? Because she got in the wrong crowd. That's why. I stand up here and I see our young people drift away and drift away and drift away and drift away. Why? Wrong crowd. That's why, you parents, if you've got to sell your house to keep your kid in Hammond Baptist School, you sell the house. If you've got to sell your car and get a bicycle, you sell it and get a bicycle. Don't you ever come to my office and say, I can't afford to send my child this year. Take in washing, mow yard, shovel snow, but you keep your kids in the right crowd. Now the question comes, What is the wrong crowd? Number one, the wrong crowd's any idle crowd. Any idle crowd. Any crowd just hanging around. That's the wrong crowd. Brother, if you haven't got something to do, then find something to do. Any idle crowd. My mother used to say to me, God bless her, son, when they sit down to chat, you come home. When the activities are over, you come home. Any idle crowd. What is the wrong crowd? The critical crowd. The critical crowd. Anytime you're with a bunch of folks, start criticizing. They're the wrong crowd. And get out of it. And have enough courage to tell them, I'm not going to listen to criticism. I'm not going to do it. But you say to the house, it's true. Well, don't you think there are enough things true that are good without you? One of our men, one fellow said, do you eat with your mouth or do you shovel coal with it? Don't you think there are enough good things true if you talk about those? Very idea. Sitting around, spreading, trying to run down somebody and criticize somebody. That billy goat religion. She's a good lady, but. He's a good man, but. I love our pastor, but. Oh, cut it out. Talk right for a change. And if somebody starts telling you, running down this person or that person, they're not your friend. They're the wrong crowd. And just as sure as a young person will go down and be ruined in the wrong crowd, you'll be ruined in the wrong crowd. And before you know it, you'll lose your joy. You'll lose your excitement in church. You'll lose your thrill about the songs. You'll lose your thrill about the invitation. You'll sit back and have the critical spirit yourself. Why? Because you ran with the wrong crowd. That's why. What is the wrong crowd? The sinful crowd. It's the crowd that smokes cigarettes. It's the crowd that drinks beer. It's the crowd that tells dirty jokes. It's the crowd that runs down Jesus. It's the crowd that hangs around the tavern. It's the crowd that hangs, the drugstore cowboy crowd that hangs around the drive-ins. It's the crowd that smokes marijuana. It's the crowd where the girls wear their slacks and shorts and look like the heathen world. It's the long-haired hippie crowd. It's the sinful crowd. Get out of it! The crowd, a bad crowd, will ruin you. What is the wrong crowd? It's an any idle crowd. It's a critical crowd. It's the sinful crowd. It's the secret crowd. It's those that are hiding something. If the crowd's hiding something from mom and dad, it's the wrong crowd. If the crowd's hiding something from the school administration, it's the wrong crowd. If the crowd's hiding something from the preacher, it's the wrong crowd. Who is the wrong crowd? The crowd that slips out during prayer and goes out and hangs out down here at the parking building like a bunch of heathen, that's the wrong crowd. Who is the wrong crowd? Crowd that goes up while we're having service sometime and set up here on these steps, teenagers, set up here on these steps and hide and are not in church, that's the wrong crowd. Who is the wrong crowd? Crowd that gets back behind the bar and smokes cigarettes, that's the wrong crowd. Who is the wrong crowd? Kind that shows you a dirty magazine, says, look at this, that's the wrong crowd. Don't you mess with it, it'll ruin you, it'll wreck you, get out of it. Don't touch the crowd, come out from among them and be your separate, saith the Lord. What is the wrong crowd? The wrong crowd's a rule-breaking crowd. It's the crowd that promises they won't play rock music as long as they go to Hammond Baptist High School and then go out and break the rule and play the rock music. They're the wrong crowd. The rule-breaking crowd. The crowd thinks it's smart to break the rule. The crowd thinks it's cute to get around the law. That's the wrong crowd. Now, there are some folks especially vulnerable to the wrong crowd. And I'll give you a few of them. Less attractive young people are more vulnerable to the wrong crowd than most anybody. I mean, young people, maybe a young lady, dates don't come very quickly to her. She don't get many invitations. Before she knows it, the wrong crowd wants to entertain her. She's very vulnerable. Watch it, young lady. God has somebody for you if you'll wait for him. And God will honor you if you'll just wait. Don't you sell yourself short. Like one lady came to my office and she said, the house, I'm going to get married. And I said, are you sure he's the right one? She said, he meets every qualification I've written down for my husband. I said, what are they? She said, just one. He's a male. No. Second, vulnerable people. New couples in an area. New couples in a church. We have parasites sitting in this room tonight that love to get to you and tell you all the things wrong they can tell. And when they, everybody that's new, These polecats and serpentine people, they love to get anybody that's new and say, let me tell you about Brother Vineyard. Let me tell you about Brother Dave. Let me tell you about Brother John, the one that sleeps all the time on the platform. Let me tell you about Brother Boardway. Let me tell you about Brother Fisk. Why don't you just tell them to shut up and say, let me tell you about Jesus. See? They're the wrong crowd. The wrong crowd. And new couples in a church. First time somebody says, hey, go out and eat with us after the service tonight. And so you go out. You want to meet somebody new. You're new in the church. You go out and eat. And you have a wonderful time. And then they say, we're so glad to have you with us. My, we're delighted to have you. And we just love our church and love our pastor. But would you pray with us about one thing? I would suggest a right cross to the jaw. Or an uppercut to the chin. Maybe a real juicy spit in the face might be okay. In love, of course. Somebody else that's vulnerable to the wrong crowd is people that like to socialize in abundance. There's some people just love to have couples over. Look, when you have couples over, you have your activities planned. This sitting around and just whatever comes up, wrong things will come up. And before you know it, that's one reason why sometimes WMS circles in a church. Not here, thank God, but in some churches, WMS circles. Before you know it, become gossip sessions. Why? Because the program's not planned. That's why sometimes couples get together, a group of couples, and have a little couple club or supper club. We've had them here. And I don't know if any trouble's been caused by it, but a little supper club. And before you know it, the thing's not planned. And they get in huddles, and they love to fellowship, and they love to talk. And before you know it, they say things about folks they shouldn't say. And before you know it, that becomes the wrong crowd. Who else is vulnerable? I'll tell you. Young people too old for their age. Young people too old for their age are vulnerable. A 13-year-old girl who's prematurely developed into a lady is vulnerable. A young man, 13 or 14 years of age, who has the physique and the build of a 17 or 18-year-old young man, he's exceptionally vulnerable to the wrong crowd. They should especially watch it. Who else? I hate to say this, but retired people are very vulnerable. They don't have much to do. And the fish aren't biting. And there's not enough folks around to play shuffleboard. And there's nobody playing ball down at the park. And you can't find anybody to play checkers with. And before you know it, you gather around in a little group. And that's one reason why older ladies ought to watch it. Who else is vulnerable? Ladies whose husbands have enough money where you don't have to work and they can sort of spoil you. And you have a lot of extra time on your hand. You're vulnerable for the wrong crowd. Men are vulnerable who have businesses that are successful and operate independently of the businessman. And you can play golf all the time if you want to. You don't have to be at the office. Your work's only going to go on anyway. You better watch it. The wrong crowd is lurking in the shadows for you. I'm thinking now of a man, one of the finest deacons I ever had in Garland, Texas. Wonderful young man. Wonderful. I can see him now in the choir laughing. He didn't say amen when he got happy. He just laughed. He wouldn't say glory to God. He'd just go, when somebody gets saved, it's a real hard case. He'd go, big, good-looking guy. He got in a certain business that was red hot. He made $1 million. He didn't have to go to work on time in the morning. He didn't have to work late in the evening. He could go around and invest his money and made a lot of money lending money to people. I saw him one day in church. I saw his face. He didn't laugh like he'd been laughing. I could tell he was in the wrong crowd. Somebody had been criticizing the church. Somebody had been criticizing the preacher. He never hurt me except my heart broke. But he hurt himself. He was in the wrong crowd. I could tell him. For long he got cattywampus. He didn't like anything going on. He didn't trust his preacher. Didn't trust the church. And before I knew it, he was gone. Now then, what's happened? That sweet little family with, I think, six children, not a one of them worth shooting. They're grown now. Not a one of them worth shooting. Not a one of them. Children gone. None of them serving God. None of them going to church much. Families all in sin. What happened? Wrong crowd. Wrong crowd. Wrong crowd. Wrong crowd. You better watch it. The wrong crowd's after you. The wrong crowd's looking for you. Wrong girlfriend. Wrong boyfriend. Wrong business associate. Wrong business partner. Wrong church. Wrong denomination. Wrong people in within the church. Little cliques and groups within the church that like to tell you some juicy gossip that they know. Oh, there's something better than that, thank God. You stay in the right crowd. You keep your kids in the right crowd. My mother's in the hospital. Had cataract surgery this week. 88 years old. And she had a fuss. First day she's there with her roommate. Guess what is over? Me. Guess why? Roommate didn't like me. Can you feature that? I never have understood why anybody so non-controversial and so bland as I am would have anyone. But to me, I'm the most lovable person I know. And so anyway, I miss Live when he's sick. He's sick, and I sure miss him. He's the only friend I've got here. And I don't like him when he's here and don't like him when he's gone. But anyway, walked in. And I said, Mother, how you feel? She said, my blood pressure went up. I said, why? She said, you should have heard what she said. She came to church here one Sunday morning. And somebody wanted a Christ, and she didn't want to get baptized. But she happened to get in the cycle. It's like a washing machine. When you turn the thing on, it don't stop till you get dry after you get baptized. And somebody told her to go out that door. She didn't know what was out that door, and she went out that door. Somebody told her to go up those stairs. She didn't know what was up those stairs. She went up those stairs. Somebody told her to put this on. She didn't know how to put it on. She just put it on. Somebody opened the door, and there was the water. And so she got offended. She's not a bad lady. She just happened to get in the wrong line. You get in the wrong line around here, there ain't no way to get out. And so she got offended. So I went over, I went up there, I walked over and I said, understand you're mad at me. She said, you're mad at me when you hear this story. She told me the story. But one thing I'd learned she didn't have any relatives. And I'd learned that she had cataract removed. And I'd learned that she had nobody at home to take care of her when she got home. Up in years, her husband's dead. No children. And I walked over and I said, understand you're going to go home tomorrow. She said, yes. I said, would you let me hire somebody to come and take care of you? She said, you mean you'd do that for me? I said, of course I would. I said, you're a fine lady. And I said, why don't you do it? She and my mother had it out the first day. I mean, they had it out. I wouldn't say that mother threw things, but I know mother. And I would say that she is somewhat biased toward me. I would not say that she's violent. I just was sure there were no guns around her bed. And the lady got sweet. And you know, we became good friends. And when she left to leave, I was there, and she said, I'll be calling Mrs. Howe, see how you're doing. You know what happened to that lady? Somewhere along the trail, she got in the wrong crowd. And somebody said some things about Brother Howe, and she got in the wrong crowd. It'll wreck you. It'll wreck me. When I became pastor of this church, Jim Lyons and I went down to Anderson, Indiana, to the State American Baptist Convention meeting. Can you imagine me going down there to the American Baptist Convention meeting? Belongs to the National Council of Churches. You know why I went down there? Because I had met the state secretary. He was the nicest guy. He was the sweetest fellow as he rejected the Bible you ever heard in your life. He was the kindest fellow who didn't believe in hell. And did you know before, I went down there and they even introduced me as being a new pastor, and I stood up on the platform in that American Baptist Convention, and they even asked me to lead the prayer of dedication for the new pastors in the state. And I didn't even have enough sense to know what I was in till they had the message. And they said, now the annual convention message will be brought by Reverend Mrs. Miller. I said, Jim, what are we in? And it shook us up, and we took off. And we ain't been to none of their meetings no more. See? Because we just didn't really appreciate the fervor of Reverend Mrs. Miller, who preached on the subject of why white folks and black folks ought to marry each other. I'm Dr. Jack Hyams. I've written 24 books, 5 million sales. I preach all this country. I conduct a big pastor school. I'm president of a college. If you ain't impressed, hurry up and get impressed. I'm about finished here. I read my Bible every day. I wear Bibles out to the dozens. I walk with God as best I can, and God knows I do. And I almost got sucked in myself. You're the wrong crowd. If Reverend Mr. somebody had preached that morning, I wonder what I'd done. Huh? You've been in the wrong crowd? Been letting your kids go with the wrong crowd? Huh? I'm talking about Little League Baseball. I'm talking about brownies. I'm talking about Girl Scouts and Boy Scouts. Why, you say when I was a kid I was a Boy Scout and I'll die for him. When I was a kid, I was a Boy Scout too. Troop 107. Fire station in Oak Cliff in Dallas. But back in those days, brother, you'd just as soon come near having a Christian Boy Scout master as you would an unchristian. And I went to Boy Scout one night and a lay preacher was our scout master, Mr. Davis. You don't find it that way anymore. I'm saying, brother, the world is blacker than it used to be. And you are not going to rear your children in the wrong crowd without having heartbreak one of these days. Come out from among them and be a separate. Touch not the unclean thing. And then when I'm 65 years of age, I'll be sitting up here and you'll be out there. And some of these little children sitting here on the front will be grown, and they'll have their own children, and one will be an evangelist wife, and one will be a teacher at Hammond Baptist High School. And we'll look at them like we looked at these three young ladies that stood here tonight and say, it's worth it all. It's worth it all. I know some fall by the wayside. I know some don't become what we hope and dream they'll become. But there's a way they can. And there's a way they will. And one ingredient that is necessary is to flee.